Hello, welcome to the second ever Darts Podcast, the Decatur Arts Podcast, where we, the Decatur Area Arts Council, talk about the arts in and around the Decatur area. With me, Jason Albright, is
Jerry Johnson
and Kim Faust.
And we're going to talk about one thing in particular today. But before we get to that, can we talk about how cold it is outside? It is freezing.
I think we did hit double digits a little after noon today.
Oh, yay.
But the feels like?
Zero.
Uh-huh.
Really cold.
Really cold. Yeah. We don't have it as bad as they have it up north, but man, it is just frigid right now.
Yeah.
And since the last podcast, that's been the big news, really, is we got hit with
cold.
A decent amount of snow and cold, and but there has still been a whole bunch of fun stuff happening in and around the area.
Always.
And we've got some really neat stuff coming up. And what we want to talk about today specifically is PASS, the PASS program.
The Performing Arts Series for Students.
Mm-hmm. And it is the oldest service that the Arts Council provides. Is that
absolutely
not correct?
The Decatur Area Arts Council was founded in 1968, but the PASS program has been going on since 1970 when Kirkland Fine Arts Center was built. The Decatur Area Arts Council got together with Millikan and worked out an arrangement where the two organizations worked to present performing arts opportunities for students here in the Macon County area. And they initially started out as just a collection of concerts performed by Millikan University bands and orchestras. And they actually performed to every single student in the Macon County. And then over the years, they began adding additional art forms like drama and ballet and poetry and mime and things like that. And so they decided to change the name from just youth concerts to the Performing Arts Series for Students, or PASS.
And this is for a lot of kids their first opportunity to see some of this.
One of the things that I think makes this program really important is that it gives young students the opportunity to see a professional performance mm-hmm. in a world-class facility on a college campus. And that's a big deal for a lot of the young students. And it may be something they don't experience for a long time, if ever, again.
Yeah. And when it comes to what we have coming up, we've got a show coming up here in just about a week, right?
In a week.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And then another one is right behind it the following week. What can you tell me about these upcoming shows?
On February 5th, we have Toying with Science, and it's a one-man show, Gary Krinsky, and he's going to talk about toys and how they work as it relates to science. He's going to do some juggling and some balancing, and I anticipate that he's going to be a really fabulous show and keep the kids' interest for a long time.
This is almost like a TED Talk for kids. I mean, really.
And what's the age range for the kids who are attending this?
We have slotted that as second through sixth grade, but I think all kids would enjoy that. Even adults may enjoy that.
We got a big crowd lined up for that.
We have a huge crowd. We're almost sold out. We try not to sit in the front row because the little people can't see over the stage, and we try not to sit up in the balcony in the loge areas just because it's risky with little chaperones. So without seating those two places, we are just about full.
Because Kirkland, I think, holds a little over 1,900, and we have about 1,750 coming to that show.
We do.
So that's going to be a whole bunch of little kids.
A whole bunch of little kids.
And then the next show.
The next show,
Your Alien, is just as full.
It is just as full. it is just exactly the same, except those audience members will be even smaller. That is pre-K through second grade. And so those will be the littlest audience we have. And that's going to be a lot of tiny bodies in the auditorium. And Your Alien is about befriending an imaginary friend that I think comes out of a book he read. So it's, as a friend.
And who we bring in for these, they are from all over. Like where do these two acts originate from?
Gary Krinsky is coming from Pennsylvania, I think. And Your Alien is Arts Power does that. And I am not sure where they're from, but they're not local.
My guess is like New York City or something like that.
Yeah.
East Coast, that's typical likely for what these acts are, correct? I mean, we bring them from all over.
They're professional performing groups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They bring in their own set pieces and accompanying music because many of them are music based.
Mm-hmm.
So that adds an extra element of, I guess, entertainment for the kids.
Now, I will say it's fun for us, but, you know, you say they bring their own stuff, and that's not always the case. Sometimes there's something called backline or additional needs.
Right. In the contract, it requires that the person hiring them supplies certain elements of their show. And
what element do we have in our office right now?
Yeah, for toying with science?
We have four ladders.
We have five ladders. There's five now. Five ladders. just stacked up in the corner.
He's also asking for a grapefruit. Who knows what he's going to use them for?
It is neat being in that room. We talk about all the kids that are going to be in there, but there's nothing like a room full of kids just erupting in laughter or you know, being asked a question and these voices just coming up.
One of the amazing things that I've experienced as having been part of the Arts Council for the last 7 years, going to these, when you've got a room full of those kids, especially the littles, you know, the K through two or whatever, you go into the room pre-show and it sounds like this ginormous flock of seagulls. I mean, the sound is just the strangest thing. And the amazing part is then the lights go down and mm-hmm. they all get real quiet. And it really is amazing how attentive the kids are how responsive they are to the performers, because they're paying attention and they're laughing and they're playing right along and they clap and you name it. It's just a great experience for all the kids. And it's kind of fun to be a part of that, just be in the room with when that is happening.
Now, as we said, this is for the schools to opt in and do this. If there is a school or a class that is interested in learning more about the PASS program or becoming involved in the PASS program for whatever reason, maybe they haven't, how would they go about doing that, Kim?
They just need to call me, 423-3189, and I can answer any questions. But basically how it works is the teacher or the secretary at the school will call me and say, hey, I need to bring 52 kids to see Toying with Science. And I'll look to see if we've got space for 52 more children. And then I'll put them down. All chaperones and all adults are free. And the students get to come for the bargain price of $5 a head.
That's crazy.
And so, you know, like Jerry was saying, in this world-class auditorium, mm-hmm. these professional performing arts programs come, and these kids get to see it for $5 a person.
And the interesting thing about PASS, too, we may be talking about this, and you may be thinking, PASS program? I've never heard of the PASS program or the Performing Arts Theory for Students. Chances are, if you grew up in Decatur in the last 45 years, mm-hmm. you or your children or your grandchildren have brought home a permission slip for you to sign saying, oh, can I go to see this performance at Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Milliken? And that is our PASS program.
Mm-hmm.
We market it to the schools and to homeschoolers as well, but it's not open to the general public. So that's why there may not be a tremendous awareness that it is our program and it's been going on for 45 years because it goes through schools and their classes.
However, if someone thought one of our programs sound really great and they wanted to take their kid out of school and bring them, we would make special arrangements if someone, the general public, wanted to bring one of their children. Absolutely. It's not limited to just schools. Yeah. If someone wanted to bring their kids.
Now, just for the fun of it, let's not talk about the show itself. Let's just talk about the day of.
It's a crazy day.
It's a crazy day, isn't it?
It is a crazy day.
How does that work from our side of it? What is that like, Kim, in terms of getting all of these kids to come in? And
it's evolved over the 40 years, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But currently what we do is I look at how many kids each school is bringing, and I will assign them an area of the auditorium. And based on their assigned area of the auditorium determines which door they come in to Kirkland. And so if they're sitting on the south side of the auditorium, they're going to come in the south door, because once you get kids crisscrossing mm-hmm. in the lobby, it bogs down everything.
And even before that, the shows always start at 10 and they're approximately an hour long. So about 9:30, the school buses start to roll into the Kirkland parking lot, and they just kind of pour in.
One after the other.
And you gotta spill 40, 50 kids off the school bus and get them into the building and into their seats in an orderly as manner as possible. And believe me, once the school buses start rolling in, we'll end up with 20, 30 school buses all stacked up in there, and we gotta empty them out, get them in the building, and be on time so the show can start at 10.
Right. We don't assign seats. We just assign areas of the auditorium. So as those kids come, we are bam, 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 sit, and moving on to the next row. So
and it is pretty impressive seeing this off because you work largely with volunteers.
Yep.
All volunteers.
Right. And I mean, it works like clockwork. You talked, Jerry, about the buses coming in, and they do. They just kind of descend, but it's in and out. I mean, super right. quick. And
then when the show is over.
When the show is over, we ask all those 2,000 school children to stay in their seats. And we dismiss them by bus number. We've assigned them a bus number before the show. And then we will dismiss them by bus number because all of their buses are just waiting and warming up for them in the Kirkland parking lot.
All in a row, A, B, C, D, E, F, and then we, okay, if you're in bus number 23, you are in row A, bus number 3, and they just leave the building and head for their bus, and we try to get them going out in an orderly and steady flow, but once all the buses are full, then they can all head back off to school.
Back to school, likely to lunch.
Likely. Let's hope so, because... The last thing you need is a bunch of kids crashing all at the same time from the energy exerted. It is impressive. The whole thing is interesting to see. And I know that a lot of, like you said, Jerry, a lot of people aren't aware of it. But I think a lot of people are, mm-hmm. too, because, as you say, for the last 45 years, they've experienced it themselves.
Right.
I certainly remember going and sitting.
I'm just saying they may not connect it with the Arts Council.
Sure.
They've experienced
it,
and loved it, but may not connect it to the Arts Council. And we're really proud of this program. I think it's probably our most important program. It's been going on a long time. And we have to give thanks to Millikan University and the Kirkland Fine Arts Center for being a great partner with us.
Absolutely.
They give us these dates after they schedule their entire season. And then Kim has to work with our performers to get them slotted in. I mean, like this season, for example, our first show was in what?
It was in October.
Yeah. And then we didn't have a show again until February. And then
we've got two back to back.
And there's one in March, one in April, and one in May.
Yeah.
In the history of this program, has there ever been a repeat performer?
Yes, there have been.
Okay. And that's just me being curious about it.
Yeah. One that pops into my head, Gizmo Guys. A couple of dudes that do sciencey fun. And I know since I've been here, the Gizmo Guys have performed at least twice.
Yeah, some of the more popular performances will come back. My predecessor, Stella, tried not to have them come back any sooner than every 3 years. But I think Laura Ingalls Wilder has been here several times. And there's just some tried and true performances that come and go that... You know, they're just good ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And we talked about Toying for Science and Your Alien in February, but coming up in March is Laura Ingalls Wilder. And then in April is a program that is a collaboration between the Park District and the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra. And it is music from Beauty and the Beast, which Park District is performing as part of their Perform series this spring. And then in May is My Mouth is a Volcano, based on a children's book.
Something interesting about the music of the Beauty and the Beast is that performance will be free to all students coming. Hmm. So they get to come free of charge because it's an outreach program of the Decatur Youth Symphony and this year collaboration with the Park District.
Right. And for those schools and classes who may struggle to find to pay for a bus to get their kids here, we do offer transportation scholarships. We get a grant from Homefield Energy, and we're able to pay for, if not all of, then a portion of the cost of a school bus to get the kids to see a show.
We do have a limited amount of funds for that, and we have expended our funds for this year, Jerry.
but I'm thinking for the Beauty and the Beast show in April, there may be additional opportunities for transportation scholarships.
There is. It's through the Symphony Orchestra Guild. They pay for some transportation. I think it's for public schools and for a certain grade.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure of their limitations.
But you ask about where kids come from, and we have actually had schools come from Sullivan and Clinton to see a past program. Our service areas, all of Macon County, Clinton, Clinton, Pena, Moquegua, Assumption, Taylorville. But we have kids come from outside of that area even to see these shows.
Well, that is the PASS program.
Yeah. And it's a great one.
So as we established in our first podcast, I think we would like to end this podcast in a similar fashion. And we just want to kind of hit real quick, briefly, on things that we are looking forward to, the arts related things
sure.
that we are looking forward to. Jerry, let's start with you this time. What are you looking forward to coming up here in the next week or so?
Coming up is the next Theater 7 production. It's Decatur's local community theater, and it opens on February 8th. It's called Farce of Nature, and of course, it's comedy farce. It takes place in Arkansas, and it's pretty much a day in the life of the Wilburn family. They run a rather run-down fishing lodge called the Relum Inn.
Uh-huh. Kim is sold.
And, you know, you hear the word farce and you kind of know what the show's going to be. It's going to be silly. It's going to be loud. It's going to be
lots of
energy. And yeah, so I was fortunate enough to help put that set together. I like to design, paint, and build sets and things. A couple of guys I know asked me to help them out. So that's what I'm looking forward to. It opens February 8th at the Decatur Civic Center.
Okay. Kim, looking forward to...
the third annual Argenta Ice Fest.
Okay, now, Jerry, you were just telling me about this event.
I grew up in Argenta. This is on February 9th. It's in downtown Argenta, plus in the Prairie Park down Elm Street from downtown. And they will have ice sculptures, ice carving demonstrations. One of the centerpieces of the show or the festival is Eric Kendall, and he's an Argenta resident who actually won a gold medal in the Vancouver Winter Olympics for ice sculpting.
Wow.
So he's kind of the centerpiece of the whole thing, but they'll have lots of ice sculptures. They're going to have an obstacle course, stuff for kids to do, a chili cook-off, lots of other foods, wine and craft beers. And on at 5:30, they'll have a lighting ceremony where they will illuminate all the ice sculptures. So that's going to be pretty cool.
So, Kim, is this something you're interested in getting into, ice sculpting?
Well, you have to enjoy the cold. I think we've already established.
Maybe she'll do a...
That's a big no.
Maybe okay. She'll do a drive-by.
I am looking forward to Wizard of Oz. For me, in terms of cinema achievements, that's clearly one of the big ones. But Fathom Entertainment is going to be putting that back into the theaters this weekend. So Sunday, a couple of Sunday shows.
Major theatrical release,
Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So you can go see The Wizard of Oz on the big screen. And most people have seen The Wizard of Oz, but have you ever seen it on the big screen?
Where can we do that?
Not in Decatur, unfortunately. Well, you do have to drive to either Springfield or Bloomington Normal. I think that's a worthy drive.
Super cool.
And I'm very much looking forward to seeing The Wizard of Oz on the big screen, experiencing it as intended. And what a great film.
Yep, absolutely. A lot of fun.
Love it. All right. Well, that is that for the second episode of the Darts Podcast. So thank you for tuning in. My name is Jason Albright.
And I'm Jerry Johnson.
And Kim Faust.
And we are the Decatur Area Arts Council. And we thank you for tuning in. We will talk at you, with you, to you next
later.
Time. How does that work exactly?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Bye.